Joining us in conversation this evening is Ian Furr. He's the founder of the Hatch Institute, as well as the founder of the Sorbet Group. Joining us to share his insights, in fact, on why business owners should place more emphasis on people, as well as to explain why building back better should be your 2021 mantra. Ian, good evening, and thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Benita. Thank you very much for having me.
It's always a pleasure, Ian. You launched the Hatch Institute a couple of years ago in 2019, but its official launch was only planned for last year. What were you doing this time last year, and how did the pandemic shift the way the Institute has connected with and helped clients?
Right, yes. It was obviously a bit of a setback for the launch of the business. You know, a lot of our clients went on hold, as it were, whilst they were trying to sort out their financial situations. So it actually gave us some more time to prepare and to create the foundation of our programs and our culture interventions that we're busy with. So what has happened really is that the pandemic gave us an opportunity to see the opportunities for change, essentially. And of course, one of those is that it highlighted the inequalities in South Africa of the different race groups and how each of those experienced the pandemic. So it's one of those situations where we feel that racial polarization has always been a problem in South Africa, and the pandemic just highlighted it even further. So that is the opportunity for us going forward, is to really take this and work on how we can rebuild hope, how we can rebuild trust, and how we can try and in business in particular, try and create a culture which has got a strong base in a diverse workforce, which lays the platform for obsessive customer service. At the end of the day, it's always going to be about service. And the stronger the culture that you have in your organization, the better the relationships between the individuals, and the more people feel respected and trusted in their situations, the more likely they are to go out there and serve their customers to the best of their ability. We always say that the customer experience will never be better than the staff experience. And that is really what we have tried to sort of optimize, is how to build cultures in today's age of racial polarization.
Is that why, Ian, hope is your message for businesses, for leadership teams, and for society at large this year, 2021, that we have to stay hopeful?
Right. I think everyone has been engulfed by fear in South Africa, fear of everything. It's now fear of the COVID situation, fear of their financial situations, fear of mental health, fear of race relations. You know, there's all kinds of fears that are really impacting negatively on people throughout the country. And, of course, with that comes a sense of hopelessness. And that hopelessness is really dragging us down. Obviously, there's other issues around government, corruption, and all of those just to add fuel to the fire. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing more powerful than fear, and that is hope. And so we really have to start building on the hope for this country, hope that there can be a better future, hope that there can be one day an equality amongst all the peoples of the country and true equal opportunities to participate in the economy, and that everyone will be recognized as a contributor in this country. And in so doing, try and build a society where there will be prosperity and improvements all around. So that's really what you're saying, is that hope is the key. And as soon as we lose hope, then it makes it so much more difficult for us to be proactive and to make these changes possible.
And if hope is the key, Ian, then we follow on from that and put it into action and say, well, never let a good crisis then go to waste. Why do you believe that there's never been a better opportunity to change things from the ground up, to build that inclusive culture?
And I believe that it's a great opportunity right now, because the issues have been highlighted so clearly for everyone to see. You know, in the past, you would talk about racial division and polarization and systemic racism, and people would say, yeah, yeah, but they don't really see it, and they don't experience it, particularly from a white perspective, and they don't see the need for change. So what has happened now is that everybody clearly sees the enormous inequality that exists in our society, and businesses are recognizing that more and more. So the opportunity is now. People realize that without a strong culture in the business where every single person, regardless of their background, is committed to the common purpose of service in that organization, then it's really going to be difficult for businesses to grow and to sustain and to serve their customers as well as they would like to. So this is the opportunity right now, because the problems are glaringly clear to all concerned, and we need to address them. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations. This is the time for us to talk about things like white privilege and white superiority and black economic empowerment, and this gets to the heart of these things, because unless we fully understand our past and how we got into this mess, it's going to be really difficult to move forward. I think too often people say, let's forget about our past. You know, I wasn't there during apartheid, so I'm not going to be held responsible. I wasn't the perpetrator. I'm too young, etc. And then I say to those people, yes, you certainly weren't perpetrators, but you were also definitely beneficiaries, and still are beneficiaries of our past. And so we need that compromise to be made. We need people to understand that if we want to get any kind of equality, there's going to be compromise that needs to be held. And so it's lots of work to be done, lots of challenging discussions to be held, but really, this is the time to move forward now.
Ian Fur is the founder of the Hatch Institute and the Sorbet Group, and he joins us in conversation this evening on The Honest Truth. Join us too on 35904. Our WhatsApp line is at 0829-904-904. Now, you've stated this before, Ian, and not just in our previous conversations or in the various publications that you've written for, but racial polarization is the root of all, or at least most of South Africa's challenges. Are you able to talk us through some of those key issues that businesses you feel haven't adequately addressed?
Because of the 300 years of racial inequality and discrimination and systemic racism in our society, we have these deeply ingrained paradigms, you know, thoughts, views that each of us has grown up with. We all grow up with these things, and we all have these prejudices, and there's discrimination, and there's racism. And sometimes it's important to understand the difference between those three, just really briefly. Prejudice is a prejudgment that you make of a person that comes from a different group. Discrimination is when you act out on your prejudices, and racism is when your prejudices and discriminations are backed by a system of power, and so those in charge are able to act out on those discriminations. So getting people to understand these deeply ingrained paradigms that we have and our unconscious biases has been a critical element of understanding racial polarization. Now, not everybody wants to understand these things. Not everybody wants to engage in conversations about them. But somehow we need to open those conversations and get people to take a good hard look at themselves and work out, how did I become like I am? How did I develop my prejudices and my biases and my thoughts and feelings about life and about other race groups, et cetera, et cetera? And so we have a course now, a race relations course, that is aimed at understanding and overcoming racial bias. Because just about every aspect of our society, in one way or another, is affected by race, or is in somehow contaminated by race. And, you know, it should be the biggest single challenge that we face in South Africa, and the thing that we focus on most. But I think the government tends to want to focus on that. But certainly I don't see business making it a big priority for them. So it's a challenge going forward, but we will keep pushing. You know, and if we can just shift one mindset at a time, we'll start to make a change. I don't mind how we do it, but the only way to get people to start believing in hope is to shift those mindsets, one mindset at a time.
Following on from that then, Ian, how does building back, or what does building back better then mean in the context of COVID-19? How do we build back better that inclusive culture within the working environment that precipitates employees, as you described, being obsessive about customer service?
Building back better really means that we have to get rid of those things that don't serve us well. You know, the paradigm paralysis, which is essentially when you get stuck in your views and in your beliefs. We have to try and break free, you know, into a situation where people unshackle their mindsets. And that's how we want to build back better. We want to get rid of those things that have been the stumbling blocks in our path going forward. And just remembering that if we can change those things, then we can build back better. And the only way to change that thing is to talk about it, because change never really takes place from a position of comfort. You know, you have to get people out of their comfort zones in order for them to recognize the need for change. And the way to get them out of those comfort zones is to have those uncomfortable conversations and to get people to realize and to awaken themselves to the truth history of South Africa and the problems that it's caused us today and that we still experience on a daily basis. And that's really why I say build back better.
And how do we do that, particularly from this particular paragraph in your recent article, Ian? Just lastly, you're right, in many ways 2021 reminds me of that old quote, here comes the new king, just like the old king. In other words, nothing really changes, or at least nothing is changing yet, despite vaccines slowly being rolled out overseas. If we presume that new and better is something that COVID-19 has in some sense accelerated, what should businesses then be doing that's new, and what should they be doing that's better?
Right. Well, I think the first thing is to be aware of the second wave of COVID-19 at the moment, and to make sure that they don't start to let the guard down and that they handle the situations inside the workplace. And, of course, a lot of people still working remotely. And it's really up to the leadership to make sure that they are showing genuine concern for their people and that they are looking after their physical health, or at least checking in on them and their physical health, their psychological health, their financial health, all of these things. You know, if you want to be a good leader, you have to build what I call the moral authority to lead. And that moral authority is very different to the normal structural or power-based authority that many leaders use to get things done. So a moral authority to lead, you have to earn that from your employees. And you only earn that by showing that you are trustworthy, that you can be respected, that you show a genuine concern for the well-being of your employees, that you show a strong commitment to their training and development, and that you create a place of safety where people feel free to speak without fear of victimization. And if you can do all of those, you can start to earn that moral authority to lead. And once you've done that, then people will follow you. You know, they say the great leaders of the world are those who can get people to follow them to places that they would never have gone by themselves. And I think that's what we need to be doing now. We need to inspire people to go out there and to motivate themselves to improve and to develop and to serve others to the best of their ability. People ask me, how do you motivate staff? And I've always said, I don't motivate staff. What I try and do is inspire staff to motivate themselves. They have to motivate themselves. It's got to come from within. But if you can inspire them to do that, then hopefully they'll go out and do the best they can.
Ian Furr, founder of the Hatch Institute and Solway Group. Ian, as always, thank you so much for your time and your insights on these matters. Thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure. Thank you, Billy.